Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends. By Nancy Lee DeMoss, and it's a great book. We bought it on Amazon. We are on chapter 3 tonight, Seeing Myself as God Sees Me. And our guest host tonight is Darlene Edwins. She's going to be the host of my co-host, Tammy Salt, tonight. So take it away, girls.
Taking it away. Let's open in prayer. You can do that. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for all the ears that are listening to us, wherever they are, whatever part of the globe they're in tonight. We pray that we would see these lies that we allow to come into our minds and our hearts, and we just pray that we would take these thoughts captive before they get any place into our hearts, and we just would put them in front of you, Lord, and we would be able to see what the lies are and what the truth is, for you give us the truth. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So chapter 3, in a nutshell, discusses six lies that many women believe about themselves. The previous chapter discussed the lies women believe about God and explained how what we believe about God affects what we believe about everything else. One crucial area affected is our beliefs about ourselves, which I think as women, period, our self-esteem, our self-value is highly impacted today. If we don't believe that God is good, loving, compassionate, and forgiving, then we won't be able to believe that he has our best in mind. He loves us, that he understands us, and that he can forgive even our deepest, darkest sins. The first lie many women believe about themselves relates to their worth. Many women feel inferior and worthless. The problem arises when women allow others to decide their value instead of accepting the truth that if they are in Christ, they are dearly loved children of God. The second lie is rooted in our culture. Many people try to tell us that what we need is to love ourselves, and that will solve all our problems. The problem is that we already do love ourselves. That comes naturally. What often appears as a lack of self-love is actually a faltering view of God and our value to him. Women need to learn to receive God's love so his love can fill us and then overflow to others. The third lie is found in those self-fulfilling words, I can't help the way I am. We have built a nation full of victims. Whenever someone does something wrong, it's usually someone else's fault. While our circumstances do indeed shape us, we are responsible for the choices we make. As believers, the Holy Spirit lives in us and gives us the power to obey God. The fourth lie also comes from our culture. We live in a nation of people clamoring for their rights. When we focus on our perceived rights, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment and hurt. True freedom comes when we relinquish our rights and expectations to God. The fifth lie is about physical beauty. Many women look at magazine covers and long for such clear skin, such smooth thighs, such a flat stomach, such a perfect nose. The billions of dollars women spend every year trying to look young or become beautiful attest to the power of this lie. While there's nothing wrong with being physically attractive, Christian women ought to be more concerned about cultivating true inner beauty of the spirit, the kind of beauty that increases rather than diminishes with age. And the last lie focuses on our deep personal longings, like the lie about rights. Many women feel that God owes them the fulfillment of their deepest longings. While the longings themselves may not be sinful, the danger is that we will begin to demand that God meet our expectations or that we will seek to meet our desires in sinful ways. By focusing on unfulfilled longings, we can miss the fact that God, by his very presence, fulfills our deepest needs. He promises that one day we will lack nothing. I want to go over the lies individually for a quick moment. There's something I'm going to tell you guys that a lot of you already know. Those of you listening by radio probably don't. I don't like talking in front of people. Every Wednesday that I have to speak, I actually get very nauseated. I do not like being in front of crowds. I am not the person that you think I am. I don't pretend to be somebody I'm not, but I think Tammy probably can honestly say she's lost count how many times I've tried to quit being in the seat, and I've had every excuse in the book, and she just won't let me. I got this chapter, and I was first very angry with Tammy that I got this chapter. I thought she did it on purpose. She gave me the ones that spoke the closest to my heart, and I thought, well, that was kind of rude. Well, why do you make me talk about the ones that I disagree with? And I'm listening to this on CD, and I was telling the class earlier that I probably listened 15 or 20 times before I stopped rejecting it and started listening. And so I do want to touch a little emotionally on these lies because I have some personal personal feelings to bring forward. I'm not worth anything is lie number one. And the author goes on to say that nobody ever feels that they're worthless in that sense. And as somebody who felt worthless, I disagree with that. However, as you really listen to what she's saying and how she's talking about what where we're putting our worth, that's where the problem lies. The problem isn't necessarily that I have no value, because even somebody that tries to commit suicide finds a value at some point, a part of their life. It's just that they're in so much despair, and they don't know how to come from it. And so the focus has to be shifted. And so I think that her actual story and what she's trying to get across isn't that you may never have felt that way, but that in fixing it, it's not trying to give yourself value, but in trying to rearrange your focus to look at God and get your value from that. Because you get your value from God, and it's going to be whole and hearty, and it's going to fill you. And you're going to realize that that change of focus is now taking your focus off that mountain that you thought you had. And when you look back, it's going to be that molehill, because now your focus is elsewhere. That same thought process goes along with lie number eight, which was, I need to learn to love myself. And I've said that to myself many times over the course of my life, especially with trying to lose weight. I truly felt that because I would self-sabotage myself when I'd lose weight, and I felt it was because I had a lack of love for myself. I agree with her in the sense that if we are trying to tell our nation, you need to learn to love yourself, that you are really setting them up, setting our nation and our women up to a false love. What we need to learn to do is accept ourselves. We need to learn to accept ourselves where we're at and to look to God and accept His love and accept the fact that He is there to hold us close, and He is there to walk us through the dark times, and He is there to hold us up, and He is where we should be leaning. We shouldn't be looking in a mirror and saying, man, you are one hot mama. You are the bee's knees. You are the best thing that ever happened. But we need to be doing is looking in the mirror and seeing the light of God shining from us. And if we see that, we're going to be beautiful in anybody's eyes, including our own, because our focus, again, is not on ourselves or what we're doing for ourselves or our self-love or our self-hate even, but towards God. And I'm telling you, in our last book, I know it was difficult, but in our last book, one thing that I took away from it, if I took nothing else, it was that evil and good cannot live in the same spot. And when you're thinking down on yourself, when you're thinking bad things about yourself, when you're thinking unloving things about yourself, when you're unable to accept love from others or give love to others, there's an evil presence in you. And I'm not saying you're possessed. I'm saying that there's an evil presence in your heart. And if you're looking to God and if you're bringing Him in and you're gathering your strength from Him, that evil presence in your spirit cannot be there. It just can't fill the same space. So that's one thing I gathered from it. Lie number nine, I can't help the way I am. That one really ticked me off. Although I will say that I feel confidently that through my life, and for those of you that don't know about me, I'm not going to go into it, but I have a very colorful past, and I have a lot of emotional and physical scars from it, and I've never one time in my life used that as a crutch. I haven't. But I have. Emotionally. And I think that's why this particular lie ticked me off so bad. I felt the author generalized here because she's talking about Eve and Adam and Eve, and she said, you know, Eve had nobody to blame but herself. And she's right. There was nobody else there to blame but herself. But I will point out that Adam made it real easily blame God and Eve. When I read at the beginning here, when I read the In a Nutshell, our author clarifies exactly what I felt after I listened to this part of the CD 50th time. Others affect our lives. They affect our lives.
Others.
People do things to us, around us, with us, for us, against us, and it does affect our lives. It affects the type of of path that we can take. What our author is saying here is that if our life and if our hearts are tuned to God, although it may leave a mark, it isn't going to lead us astray. We have a choice, and I tell the grandkids this, I tell my kids this. It doesn't matter what somebody else does to you. It matters how you react. Your choice is in how you react and how you take from that situation. Somebody hurting you isn't okay. Somebody abusing you isn't okay. Somebody assaulting you in any way is not okay. It is not your fault. It's not okay. But how you move on from there is all up to you. And we are a society. And I went into this particular life thinking, I don't blame things on other people when it comes to that. I mean, if I tell you it's your fault, it's your fault. I mean, it is. But I do. And you know, I've worked really hard over the course of the years with my temper. I had a really bad temper, and I've learned a really hard lesson in biting my tongue and not saying things that I want to say when I want to say them. I've learned not to correspond with my husband when I'm angry because I say things I shouldn't say or I handle things the way I shouldn't handle them. And that is indicative of me learning that it is in my hands. It's a choice that I'm making. And it's you know, if my husband does something to me that makes me angry and I lash out and say something terrible or hit him, well, that's not his fault. It's my fault because I chose to do it. And I don't think that our society as a whole, I don't think that we are very good about looking in the mirror and saying, you know, I made that choice. I made the choice to react that way. I made the choice to absorb that information and let it become part of me. I made a choice to walk down that road, and we have to take responsibility for that. And in taking responsibility, we can move on from it. Lie number 10, I have my rights. This one didn't hit as close to home. I don't feel like in me personally that this is something that I've ever really been challenged with, except for maybe as a woman in my own right. I worked up until this job I have right now, I worked all male-dominated jobs. I worked in roofing, I was a heavy equipment operator, warehouse manager, truck driver, you know, and I felt very defensive all the time, and I actually got sexually assaulted in the warehouse by one of my employees, and I didn't do anything because I was terrified. I was the boss, and I was terrified I was going to get fired, and the fact is that we do go into a relationship or into a conversation or into a problem loaded with our rights. And we do have rights. We have the right to be true to ourselves. And in being true to ourselves, we have the right to turn to God. And we need to hold on to that right, because every day I think we're getting further and further away from having that right. We need to remember what our rights are. And our rights are not burning our bra and, you know, screaming at the neighbor because he is a, well, maybe if he's a 49ers fan.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll scream at you a little bit.
Maybe just say Cardinals.
I'm not against them so much. No, but, you know, we got to put it in perspective. And put it in this perspective. I have my rights has caused so many unnecessary arguments, which led to so much unhappiness. Because although we do have our rights as Christians, as women, as Americans, so do everybody else can say the same thing. So now where do you go? Well, I'm a devil worshiper. I'm not. I'm saying I'm a devil worshiper. I have my right to throw goat's blood on you. Okay, and I have my right to pray over you. Okay, well, where do you go? Where do you go when everybody has the right? So let's move away from having the right and move to right, the right direction. 11, physical beauty matters more than inner beauty. I don't think I've ever really cared about that either. I mean, of course, I didn't want to be the lowest dog on the totem pole, nor did it more than anybody, but I didn't find inner beauty in me. And I think that lots of times when you don't see an inner beauty in yourself, that physical beauty is what you crave for and what you strive for. You've got to have the prettiest hair. You've got to have the best makeup. You've got to have everything just right. Yes, you have to be the most beautiful. And I think that we've talked about this before, that oftentimes people that put a lot of weight on their outer beauty are very hollow inside. And it's very true, because that's something they can control in their mind. But guess what? We can control that inner beauty too, because like I said earlier, our beauty comes from within. And if we have the right ammunition in there, if we have the right food in there, if we have the right spirit, nobody's going to be able to say anything about how beautiful you are. They're not going to, I don't care if they're a sinner or if they're a saved or not, they're going to see that beauty come from you, because it literally radiates to you when God is center of your life. And then I think I have one more lie. Thought I did. Maybe I'm talking about, yes. I should not have to live with unfulfilled longings. Now, that one hits a little closer to home. I'm not materialistic in any way. But my longing was to be in a relationship where I wasn't abused. And what's funny is that through the course of the years, I have blamed my choices on my past husbands and my past abuse. And, well, you know, my second husband I married because he had a job. Well, that was a huge step up for my first husband. But he still did drugs and hit. Well, actually, I think I hit him. But anyway, we won't go down that one.
I told you she's done everything I have.
My third husband I married because he had a job and he didn't hit. And he didn't do drugs. But his family was less than desirable, and he truly did emotionally abuse me in many ways. And my fourth husband, I don't even remember him asking me to marry him, but he's the good one. And we're still married to him. It's been like, I don't know.
Are you really married that you know of?
Yeah. I don't know how long it's been. A long time. But, you know, I have gone through my life, and I remember when my husband now and I got in this really big fight, I started throwing punches at him. And if you've ever met my husband, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
He is a big guy. And thank the Lord, he just stood there yelling at me, you better knock it off, you better knock it off, you better knock it off, because I guarantee if he was throwing a punch, I probably wouldn't be here today. And I told him, when I calmed down, I said, well, the reason I did that is because you made me angry, and that's how I know how to fight in a relationship. I know that I better start swinging because it's going to come.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've never hit you. And I'm like, yeah, but, and he goes, why is it my problem? Why is it my problem? Why do I have to deal with this? And I'm like, well, because I'm scarred. I mean, you've got damaged goods. Deal with it or move on, you know? And it took the course of the years. One thing Tammy told me, her husband told her once, that I key right in and wrong husband. And there are times yet to this day that when I get frustrated with him, I have to remind myself, wrong husband. He's allowed to call in sick when he's not, even though I can't. That's frustrating at all. But anyway, so again, my unfulfilled longings have I don't have any unfulfilled longings. If I really get down to the nitty-gritty of it and the honest truth of it, I have a blessed life. Even if I didn't have a house and didn't have a car or whatever, I have the most incredible family, beautiful grandchildren, a wonderful husband.
Awesome co-host,
great mom, wonderful niece, wonderful friends.
Lovely Finnish friends.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I was talking to my husband, I said, you know, we're so blessed. We were at our lot camping, and I said, we are so blessed. He goes, yeah, I love this place. And I said, I'm talking about our grandkids. And our kids, I have six kids, and I have a daughter-in-law, and I have a son-in-law type person, and I have nieces and nephews and ancestors. And I have all these incredible, and I'm naming off this list, and I could see his face change.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know what, we really are blessed.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you know, he went from we have all this great stuff, because he's a guy, and he's not the head of our household spiritually. So you could just see him soften. He goes, yeah, we really are blessed. We really are blessed. And we are. And I'm thrilled with it. I'm going to bring my mom in here, Darlene, and we're going to kind of go over these lies again, and I'm going to have her kind of banter back and forth with me a little bit. I'm sure she has something to say.
Well, if you took a breath, maybe.
Okay, you only have 1 minute.
Okay.
No, that's Lisa. So you're going to want to just, do you have anything to say on what I said about those lies?
Well, yeah. I think the one that was my biggest weakness was I'm not worth anything.
Mm.
And, you know, back in my courtship days, the only way you could show a man that you loved him is to do what he asked you to do. And so, you know, that really scarred me, especially because I ended up getting pregnant and having to give up a child due to that.
Well, growing up, you know that I had the middle child syndrome,
mm-hmm.
and I never felt like I was worth anything. And it didn't matter what you guys did, it was never enough.
It really wasn't. We tried many things.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess Him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office, 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe, and we want to thank our floor directors, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.